It is indeed a privilege to be involved in the Jude Conference, Building Stronger Marriages and Families. In this third address, we are going to begin by looking at the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 1 to 3, which I'll read to you first of all. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Word of God says, "Would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And so this address is about marriage and the family life under attack. And we begin from that passage with the problem of beguiling. Problem of beguiling. Marriage is an honourable estate, instituted during the time of man's innocency. So reads the introduction to the marriage service from the 1789 Book of Common Prayer. And the spiritual intentions of our forebears, whose behaviour was shaped by the Bible, was, and as we have heard from previous speakers, that marriage is between one man and one woman for life. But here, in 2021, beginning of this new year, your marriage is at ground zero as far as the devil is concerned, who wishes to attack it. And if you're a married person today and listening to this or contemplating marriage, there are dangers, there are attacks that will come. Satan attacked the first marriage. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 tells us of that in the fall of man. He's still attacking marriages today. The Bible refers to him as your adversary, the devil, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And his scheme was then and still is now to divide and to conquer. And he wants to divide you and to isolate you from one another. He's a master of deceit who will make every attempt to deceive you into thinking about your spouse and your marriage, to deceive you about thinking wrong things about them. He's an accuser who will try to get you locked into thinking about how wrong and how selfish your spouse is and how pridefully right you are. This is how he acts in a subtle way. And the attacks of both marriage and families are as old as the history of humanity. Scripture text from 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 that we read a moment ago is clear in its identifying of the source of the attacks. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, something that we should notice straight away from this key text is that both Adam and Eve were beguiled by Satan. Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety. To beguile is to seduce or deceive. Satan deceived using subtlety. The word in the original means, in a bad sense, trickery or cunning or craftiness. Charles Hodge says, Eve was thoroughly deceived. Lenski calls this subtlety duplicity. The evil one planned and executed thoroughly the beguiling of Eve, as Genesis 3 explains. He was more subtle, more crafty than any other creature made by the Lord God. However, it is not right to only look back to his subtlety, that he was the most subtle creature, but that he is still the most subtle creature. His agenda continues. And Satan is interested in anything that seeks to ruin God's plan and order for human society. Marriage and the family are beautiful institutions designed by the Lord God for our benefit. So it's ever wonder that Satan wishes to destroy them both. So what are the effects of this duplicity? The last phrase of the text says, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And here Paul refers back to Genesis chapter 3 and shows that the serpent has seduced the mind of Eve from her affections and her allegiance to Adam, her true husband, and certainly from God, her creator and governor. And her judgment was misled, and her mind was infected with false, corrupt principles. And Paul is referring back to that first beguiling in this third verse. And Paul is concerned for the believers in Corinth who were infected by false teachers, who were being seduced, being deceived by wrong doctrine. And he's also concerned for us, as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we might be similarly beguiled by Satan's duplicity. And the antidote is simplicity towards Christ. What is this simplicity in Christ? Well, the language of the original text is simplicity towards Christ. It's about the Christian's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the opposite of the complexities of this world and the teaching of those false deceivers in Corinth. Christianity is not a creed. It's a relationship. It is living with a person and a husband and a wife who primarily maintain that close relationship with Jesus Christ can cope together with the challenges and the attacks of Satan and indeed of the world. Attacks on marriage, then, we look at first of all. And there are two main sources of attack on marriage. There is attacks from the outside and attacks from the inside. Firstly, from outside, and it's social movements that are attacking marriage through Satan's influence. There's ample evidence that the ongoing liberal revolution in Western culture has brought alternative opinions and arrangements for relationships between men and women, and relaxing of divorce laws, making it easier for couples to separate and try someone new. That has led to couples deciding that common law marriage or cohabitation without permanent commitment would be their choice. And this has increased over the last 70 years. Registry office marriages outstrip church ceremonies, and it did decades ago. Other attacks can come in the form of interference by influential members of the family, not willing to let marriages blossom in their own time. Maybe a warning for those of us about to become in-laws and to be careful how we treat the newlyweds. Criticism of married couples by others with differing views have sometimes been a source of attack, intimidating couples who wish to follow a biblical route according to the scriptures. And Satan's subtlety has been suggested all kinds of alternatives to God-ordained marriage of one man and one woman for life. Then secondly, there are inside attacks, attacks from internal attacks. And married couples soon discover once the happiness and excitement of an engagement and the wedding and the honeymoon, when they're all over, that they are committed to a lifelong relationship with another person who is perhaps not the perfect human being that they supposed. Selfishness can rear its head early on. Two individuals who up to now have been independent, spending their own money, making their own decisions, deciding where to go or not to go. They might find themselves clashing over major and minor issues. Wanting our own way in a marriage, that's one of the avenues for Satan to drive a wedge between us and our spouse. He knows our humanity. Oh, how ready he is to suggest that each of us assert our own rights. And when that is thwarted, then anger and resentments can build up. And the relationship can suffer when fear presents itself. Fear that love is waning. Fear that respect is being lost. And if one partner is dominant with an overbearing attitude, then the other can withdraw into a sort of discouraged shell and tend to be incommunicative. And emotions can play a part in the internal attacks. Husbands can be unsympathetic when wives are suffering. And a husband's reluctance to take his responsibility seriously as the loving leader in the marriage gives the devil more opportunity to beguile, to deceive. Now, it's unwary husbands and wives who are most easily ensnared by the devil's traps and his beguiling. For instance, it would be foolish for you to be driving your car but not to pay attention to what is coming to you from the right hand and from the left hand, or what is in front of you, maybe traffic lights, or not checking the mirror to see if there's someone behind, someone crossing. It would be foolish for you to do that. We are trained as drivers to be watchful for our own safety and for the others in our car and for people around. And also we can be careless in our marriages by not recognizing the dangers and heeding the warnings. Every opportunity where the enemy is not blocked, he will attempt to infiltrate your mind and hence your marriage by trying to lure you down paths that are unwise and possibly sinful. And he'll tempt you with thoughts and urges and desires to think and to act and to speak in ways that are divisive and hurtful to your spouse and ultimately then to your marriage. Now, both husbands and wives are under attack. Both can be beguiled and led astray from God's pattern and blueprint. So these are attacks on our marriages. Now we turn to attacks on the family. Once again, the evil one has an agenda and wishes to disrupt and to destroy family life. Again, from the outside and from the inside. There are societal changes that are affecting and bringing attacks on the family. Listen to this, a quote just a month old. It's from the Washington Examiner, dated December 19th, 2020, barely a month ago. This is what it says. We are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. Now that is a declaration by the New York City Teachers Union Group and printed there in the Washington Examiner. And then Noah Bilatsky, an opinion writer publishing in places such as NBC and CNN, said this very simple phrase, and it's published. Parent is an oppressive class. Parent is an oppressive class. Here are the attacks from the outside. Family laws have been passed that challenge God's blueprint. Yes, Satan is out to attack the family, because the family is God's idea, and anything that was God's idea, he is out to undermine and to attack. And these attacks are prevalent in popular culture, including the websites that promote marital infidelity, and in TV sitcoms that promote alternative relationships and lifestyles. They're more and more prolific as they are brought into our living rooms through the television. This is also evident in the worldwide movement by some to legalize same-sex marriages, with the latest countries, USA, Ireland, Vietnam, doing so. Now, these are modern opinions that are being talked about. People find it easy to talk about them in a society which itself is abandoning its adherence to God's plan for human society. And Satan's beguiling continues and seeks to challenge God's biblical pattern of mother, father, and children, and the extension with the generations of grandparents and great-grandparents. I'm not known for being a Christian, but G.K. Chesterton wrote this: "The business of the home is nothing less than the shaping of the bodies and souls of humanity. The family is the factory that manufactures mankind." We ask a question of Chesterton: is this all the family is? A factory that manufactures mankind? My friends, not in God's eyes. The family, the most fundamental institution of society, yes, is under attack from all sides. Adultery, divorce, cohabitation, child and spouse abuse, homosexuality, abortion, teen pregnancies, pornography, disobedient children, economic struggles, an increasing unwillingness among married couples to bear and rear children. All these and more are proof that Satan understands very well the central role the family plays in the society of human beings that are created in God's image. He knows what he's doing. And if these are the external attacks, what about from the inside? The inside of each family, what do we see? Well, human weakness and ungodly ambitions in a family, they can lead to exposure to Satan for his attacks. There's the attack of selfishness that can occur in any member of the family. In our sinful nature, there is that aspect of desiring that our goals are fulfilled and our needs met by those around us. We want them to do for us. Then there's the attack of challenging the basic family structure that God has designed. And it's our role as husbands, I speak as a husband, our role as loving leaders to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And for wives, to submit yourselves to and love your husbands, your own husband. And ladies, it is your role as submissive helpers and wives to submit yourselves to and love your own husbands. Children, you're part of the family too. Some are listening today. Obey your parents. Submit to loving training from parents who act in God's place in the family until you're old enough to submit to God yourself. Now, when this plan, this biblical plan, is thwarted or neglected, then family breakdown can occur. And the husband must bear the primary responsibility for the family unit's functioning. And he needs the partnership of his loving spouse to support and build their relationship so that the children, as they appear, will see God's plan in action. Henry Ward Beecher was a minister and social reformer of the 19th century, a Congregationalist in America, well known for his work against slavery. But he said this about the family. He said the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. A simple sentence, but it's worth repeating. The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Mutual agreement and cooperation of the husband and wife with regard to nurturing and training of the children is vital, but this divine plan is under attack daily. Divorce, the smashing of the family unit, the main family unit, increasing rapidly in Western society. The devil does not want marriages to succeed. Many children suffer because they lose stability when a new father or mother comes to the family following divorce. And sadly, it's not unknown for spouse and child abuse to happen in Christian families too. When the eyes of the husbands and wives are taken off looking to the Lord Jesus Christ to be the central component of their family unit, the simplicity towards Christ is lost. And instability in families leads to children being left to fend for themselves and form their moral opinions without any standard of right or wrong, and particularly from the Word of God. Now, these attacks are symptomatic of a society without God, who now leaves God out of the picture, who has abandoned a Christian heritage. And they come about when tender, kind, biblical instructions are ignored and jettisoned from the society's mindset. So what then, as we come to the defense of marriage? Looked at the attacks. What about the defense? The principal defense is the Bible, this book here, God's blueprint. Now, other speakers have and will be outlining God's plan for marriage and families. But mutual love and submission to Christ is the key, according to our text here in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11. The gospel simplicity of faith and love towards Jesus Christ. How then can marriages resist these attacks of Satan that have been outlined in these modern times? Well, God has not made it difficult. He has made every provision for a Christian, and certainly for a Christian couple, to fly to Christ for help, to run for assistance to the Lord Jesus through the Word of God. And a Christian marriage is the best environment for mutual fulfillment, for love and spiritual satisfaction, when the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the household, who is that silent listener to every conversation, who is that unseen guest at every meal, and the one who should be presiding in the marriage. And the husband nourishes and cherishes his wife, makes every provision for her to fulfill her God-given role in life alongside him. It means faithfulness. Back to the words of the marriage institution, forsaking all other, cleave only to her or to him. And a wife who is nourished and loved and cherished will find it easier to follow a husband's godly lead. And it means prayer and dependence on the Holy Spirit to shape the marriage. It means being aware of the capacity of Satan to attack, to not be ignorant of his devices, to resist him so that he flees from you. And that takes hard work and much prayer. And then the defense of the family. The Bible, the headship of Christ, showing the children persevering godliness. These are keys to defending the family from attacks. Family is where the God-man, the man-woman and parent-child relationships can be lovingly expressed. The Bible here is the best family handbook. Paul's passage in Ephesians 6 strategically follows his teaching on Christian marriage when it speaks about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church, and wives submitting to their own husbands. Following that, in Ephesians 5 comes Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's describing the work of the devil and his demons. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. From personal experience, we found that going through various passages like this one and the book of Proverbs with our children in family worship was a great blessing, since it addresses many important issues. We first need to recognize the enemy when he does attack, when he attacks our emotions and thoughts, be ready to resist and challenge and overcome Satan and his attacking schemes. And secondly, the Almighty God, who designed and blessed the institutions of marriage and the family, he is also mighty to maintain them when we trust him, when we lay ourselves open to his wise guidance and his loving care of us, and to reward those who follow his kind directions. What a joy that can be, even though it's hard work. He also helps those who are ready to follow his plans, recognizing that such plans, when followed, are the route to peace and happiness. Of course, not all children within families will come to faith, but all should have the benefit of observing what the Lord has done for their parents and notice the benefits in them. Bible reading and prayer, essential ingredients to deal with attacks. The family that prays together stays together. The couple that prays together stays together. We'll mention more of this in the last session of the conference this afternoon. Finally, the church at large today has a role in preaching the truth of Scripture concerning these two areas, marriage and the family. Praying for the families in our churches, practical help through wise counsel, sincere example of those who are married and have families within the church, and of course, pastoral concern. May the Lord help us and encourage us as we think of these serious issues during this time of conference, and may he lead us to marriages and families which glorify his name and lift up that precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.